Why don't they just continue singing? Did you know that there is nothing more beautiful than to listen to music and then imagine, especially when they were singing that first song, they were coming to Amen, and they were climbing, those girls were climbing, and I imagined high C, and they hit it. Beautiful. I love to sing when Dell sings. Somehow I sound better. Now, before I came here, I was told something very good, because once before I preached, I asked a friend pastor, I said, well, how long do I go? And he says, you preach as long as you want, but at noon I go to eat. But Ken told me not to look at my watch, so I won't. Blame him. We were greeted by a very polite gentleman, one of the officers of the local union. We became acquainted. His name we will call Samuel. He has taken us around this Caribbean island and told us about Adventist Church there. 300,000 inhabitants about, and 13,000 members on that island. Every little village has at least one church, and towns have many churches. We heard from him that he had four children. He has four children. The eldest two were twins, a boy and a girl, and then another boy and girl were born to them. Is your wife from here? My wife asked. He says, yes. She died 7 years ago. Then he became silent. He looked away, probably to hide his grief. Somewhat later, we wanted to reach out to him, so one of us asked, did she die from a serious illness? Yes. Very serious illness. Then we hushed. We didn't talk anymore. He took a wonderful care of us, taking us around, very good host. Holds a PhD in systematic theology from Strasbourg. All the while, during the 5-day stay, he was hiding something. We knew it, but we didn't know what. Something painful. We knew it has to do something with his wife. Yet we didn't know what. As we were leaving at the airport, he gave us his book, which gave us the answer. My wife started reading it and finished it by the time we were driving from O'Hare in Chicago to Berrien Springs. Here is the abridged story. They had a wonderful marriage. They knew each other from childhood. They started dating during the high school time. Then they decided to go to college, but not to the same college, because they wanted to remain faithful to each other. So he went to one college, she went in another country to another college. They studied together. At the end of college, they met. They decided to get married. And they married. They moved to France, where he was working on his doctorate. That's where she became pregnant with the twins, and they were very excited about that. She had 2 days hard labor. She lost a lot of blood. Fortunately, they were in France. Transfusions. Kids were finally born. They had to do cesarean on her. Kids were born. healthy, growing. But for some reason, mother could not recuperate quickly. She would recuperate, and then from time to time she would have very high fever. And that lasted for several months, for over a year. Finally they decided, hey, this is not serious. We cannot continue like this. They requested to see the specialist. They saw several specialists. And after those specialists consulted together, they invited them both and talked to them separately at the same time. They started asking strange questions. How is your marriage? How is your relationship? How is your intimate life? Finally, with some hesitation, they said, do you have another partner? Friend? Lover? Have you been faithful to each other? And then finally, they said to them, your wife, they said to him, and to Sylvia, they said, you have AIDS. Transfusions with contaminated blood. But no one was ever sure. No one was ever sure. Now I remember in the 1980s, there was huge scandal in France. Sloppy control in blood banks. Hundreds contaminated and died. Health minister lost his job. Presidents of some hospitals and blood banks went to prison. But that could not resurrect those who died from AIDS. Innocent suffered. She was infected, but he not. So now a huge question loomed over them. What now? As they came out from the offices and met in the foyer, they looked at each other, didn't know what to do. Everything has turned. They didn't know even how much and where. They didn't know how to relate. Somewhat by habit, mixed emotions, habit, love, compassion, I don't know what. They embraced each other very strongly. They got in the car, he says in his book, they just sat there. What will they do? Where will they go? Will they stay together? What do you do? What would you do? They talked a long time. He was sometimes deciding to stay, sometimes for the sake of children. As she pled, she said, please, you remain healthy. I love you too much. I love the kids too much. Take care of them. Just let me see them as often as possible. The hardest thing, he said, was that they didn't dare share it with anybody. They had to share with parents, and the specialists knew in France. And when they finally came to the island, he had some very, very good friends. He shared with a couple of them, but the news spread like wildfire. And in the 1980s, we didn't know so much about AIDS. We didn't dare to sit where somebody was sitting who had AIDS, much less touching Now we know more. So finally, one day, he decided, and he says, he had such a peace when he made up his mind. He waited until next morning. He says he slept like never before. When he got up, he told her, "Not only will I not leave you, but I do not want to take distance from you. I will love you in this very same way as I loved you before you got AIDS." Faithful to death, he says, that's what that means to me. She took some experimental drugs. She recuperated. She became pregnant. She had another girl. 2 years later, she got pregnant again. She had another healthy boy. Both of them were healthy, not infected. After the birth of the last boy, 9 years of very, very happy marriage. What a life. What a story. When Brenda finished reading, we were speechless. What would I do? What would you do? How much do you love your spouse? Would you take a risk, give yourself to her? They had 9 years of happy marriage after happy family life. But it doesn't have to be 9 years. It can be 9 months before one or both die. You never know. It's a risk. How would you feel if your spouse would take such a risk for you? Would you doubt ever his or her love? Would you ever dare to cheat on her or him with such a love? Well, someone has done it for you. For us. That day, when she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband and he ate, I imagine the heaven stunned. The music turned from major to minor key, and then to disharmony, and then it hushed. What now? Because to angels and to God, it was not just Adam and Eve, it was the human race, infected by the AIDS of sin. Heaven saw not just Adam and Eve, heaven saw Abraham and Israel and Nero and Peter and the church and mosque and Ellen White and Hitler. Those are all his kids, brothers and sisters. Infected by the sin of AIDS. And God knew the future. He knew the proportion between those who will take advantage and who will give their sin to Christ. He knew that overwhelming majority would disregard it. He knew it. But he did it. He could have said, He could have said, wages for sin is death. You're going to die? Well, if you die, it's not because I'm punishing you. It's not because I want to take revenge. It's because you earned it. It's your salary. It's your due. For justice's sake, I should stay where I am. Besides, imagine if I go down and I get affected because he was not infected. Big difference. Our sin didn't make him a sinner. But our sin affected him and he suffered as if he were a sinner. If I go down and I get affected, I'll die. How will other sinless worlds look at my compassion, at my love, at my grace, at my self-sacrifice? Will I encourage them to say, well, this is what happens when we disregard God's will, so let's do it so that grace may abound? His bride, I'm faithful to him, you and I. My friend Samuel could have distanced himself. She would die and all was finished. In fact, the specialist told Samuel that Sylvie continued living because she had enormous power of love that was binding them together. What physical, physiological immunity could not do, this love made her live. So heaven waited in silence, in consternation, devastated by love of humanity. Ellen White says that angels came and offered to die for them. Samuel is still alive, very active officer in union of that island. But he said how many times he wished that with him joining himself with his wife, he could absorb all the viruses and die immediately to let her live healed from AIDS. But it could not be. It could not be. God's reputation, God's love was in question, and God had to come down. That's when Jesus stepped before the Father and offered himself. And when I read Philippians in the light of this human, fallible love, it sounds so much more beautiful. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Have this mind among yourself. Have this mind. Think about this. Think within this kind of frame of mind, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. Samuel emptied himself of his plans, of his ambitions, of his hopes, put all of that at risk, because he united himself with his wife, emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He alone, He alone can be born of woman, could be born of woman, and resist temptations. He alone could express God's love because He is God. But when He looked at you and me, He repeated the words from Hosea. How can I give you up? How can I make you like Adama? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart, my translation says, recoils with me. My compassion grows warm and tender. Sometimes I wonder if we ever measure how loved we are by God. So Jesus, God, remained at your and my side. But my friend Samuel could not do Jesus could. He can take your and my sin away, but it cannot be on a superficial level, and it cannot be at a distance. Only when I'm in touch with Him, when I came close to Him, and when I allow Him to come close to me, only then. If it were possible to transfer AIDS to her husband and cleanse herself without affecting him, Sylvia would have gladly accepted his offer of love. But she knew that if she shares with him, he will die. If we would only, permit me to paraphrase Philippians chapter 2, if we would only consent to, not to count equality with sinners as a thing to be grasped. Sin is popular. Sin is beautiful. Sin is attractive. But if we would only see sin as it is, if we would only consent not to commit equality with sinners, a thing to be grasped, but empty ourselves, give our sin to Him, taking the form of a servant, humbling ourselves, and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If we would only consent. Isn't it strange that I would cherish sin, AIDS of sin, and not want to give it to Jesus? Isn't that strange? That I would love my equality with sinner more than to accept His closeness and His capacity and willingness to absorb every sin of mine and to destroy it and make me healthy person. 9 years of intense happiness. Then one day, both of them became violently ill, extremely high fevers. They were both taken to hospitals. They were both flown to France. They were both treated. She died. And he was restored. But he knows. In his book he says, I know this is temporary. AIDS remains in me. It's just the matter of time. Jesus took my humanity, died and resurrected and keeps humanity forever and keeps the scars of my, not his, AIDS forever. But only scars. Because the Apostle Paul says that sin could not affect him, could not keep him in the tomb. Christ has resurrected. And if we would not trust or hesitate to trust Christ before resurrection, because he is from Galilee and son of Joseph and Mary, everybody knows, that's understandable. But to hesitate after resurrection, that's even more incomprehensible. We know he can overcome sin. We know. Your sin and my sin is mortally wounded by Christ's death and resurrection. It can survive only as a parasite when we feed it, when we let it breathe, when we give him our time. An Air Force pilot was learning to fly. He knew how to fly, but now he had to learn how to fly in company, together, when three or four of them fly together at top speed. He had to listen to the person that is directing him, and in split of a second he had to execute maneuver because he know that the two others will. He was in constant contact with his coach. He heard some noise in the cockpit, and he says to his coach, he says, I hear where behind me. He says, well, look. So he looks around. And he sees a rat. He says, oh, it's nothing, it's just a rat. He says, what do you mean it's nothing? He says, you know what it can do? He can chew over some of your pipes, these plastic things, and you will lose control over our airplane, and you're in danger. He says, but what shall I do? He says, pull, is it yoke, it's called? Pull it towards you and straight up. Top speed. So he went. And after a while he says, how far? He says, do you hear noise? He says, no. Well, he says, look back. He looked back, and there is rat dead. Not even enough oxygen for him. After resurrection, after crucifixion and resurrection, the AIDS of sin is mortally wounded. It lives because we feed it. And Jesus says Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, the sin does not have to have dominion over you. How can I give you up? Says God to Israel. But you know, I was just thinking this morning as I was walking here, even at the judgment day, even after millennium, and even after the assault on the heavenly Jerusalem coming down, when the fire will be sent, just about when the fire will be sent from the throne of God. I even there hear God not gloating over destruction or all of those horrible sinners. I hear Him say, how will I give you up? Those are His kids. I remember when one of my brothers committed adultery, was disfellowshipped. My mother was in a board, church board, and she voted that he be disfellowshipped. But when she came home, she was crying. And I remember one sentence she always pronounced. She says, there is not such a thing to a mother as wretched son. There is no such a thing to God as hopeless case. And his heart will recoil in him, even when sinners will be destroyed. But that beautiful day, when you and I will be passing through the gates of New Jerusalem, you know what will happen? I will share this with you. I'm not a prophet, nor a prophet's son. But I think heaven will hush again. For two reasons. First reasons, angels will not be able to sing because they will have a lump here seeing us coming in. They would have heard God say so many times, how will I give you up? And when we finally come in the procession, no more voice. But there is another reason. I would like to read it. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The only verse I know which tells us that God knows how to sing. Which tells us that God will sing. The Lord your God is in your midst. He did not give up when you got AIDS. He is in your midst. A warrior who gives victory. The AIDS did not overwhelm him. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Who dares try to embellish, accompany God's voice? No one dares. It will be a solo. But I believe God will sing solo quartet. He can harmonize with himself. Because his character, his being is in full harmony. And who knows how many? We have three, and in seventh chord we have four voices. But who knows how many he can have? And when he adjusted my ears to his voice, boy, I'll have lumps too. God will sing. And I think he will thank us for giving him our AIDS. And then we will thank him for not being able to give us up.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.